Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon, and we are not at Substation 2 today. We are on the road out here at the construction site of the new Carolina Panthers team headquarters and practice facilities with an array of people who know what's going on here. And we are going to try to paint a picture because it is something to see. Our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. All right, here we are. We're standing out here. You know, there's no shade. We are actually enduring Mother Earth and all she has to give us today, and it is warm out here. So we've got four gentlemen who are all associated with a construction team out here, and I'm going to get them to introduce themselves and tell us a little bit about them. Go ahead. Let's start off with you, John.
Yes. My name is John West. I am a project executive for the Mascaro Barton Mallow construction team. We are the construction manager that was hired by the Carolina Panthers to manage and oversee the new headquarters and training facility.
So your job is to keep all these other three in line?
At least two of them. At least two of them.
All right. Now, over here is the senior Mascaro. This is John Mascaro. John?
Hello, Manny. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good, good. Yeah, my name is John Mascaro. I lead the management committee for the CMJV team of Mascaro Barton Mallow. And I spend a good deal of my time back at the home office, the headquarters back up in Pittsburgh, and come down here once every couple months to check on things. Everything's going great. We're exceptionally pleased right now, and there's steel erection going to start on three fronts here by next week. It's pretty exciting stuff.
All right. Do you want to introduce this guy over here to your left?
Yeah. This is one of our project engineers for the CMJV, my son Joey.
Hey, Joey. How are you?
Good, man. How about yourself?
All right. Tell us about what you do here.
I'm a project engineer for the site development. That's about it.
Now, you've literally have moved down here for this duration, right?
Yes, sir. Born and raised in Pittsburgh. Moved down here, Rock Hill. I'm loving it down here.
You're going to have a hard time going back, pal.
That's what everyone says.
Especially when the winters hit Pittsburgh and you're going to say, my God, look at it. It's beautiful down here.
Spent a winter down here. It was pretty awesome.
All right. Last but not least.
Hey, good afternoon, Manny. My name is Blake Boyd. I'm a senior project manager here. I work with John and help oversee Joey and other project managers and project engineers on our staff, mainly on the building side. So everything here behind you, the steel, the concrete, beautiful facade that we're going to have here, designed by our friends over at Populous, the architect.
All right, so we got to start with the basics. I don't know who wants to jump in on this. Maybe it's you, John. How did you all get tabbed to do this project?
Well, it's an interesting story, and it is primarily relationship-based. Back in 1999, Mascaro Construction was awarded the construction of the new Heinz Field Stadium for the Pittsburgh Steelers. There were several representatives that worked for the Steelers at that time that now work for the Carolina Panthers. So we opened that stadium in 2001, and honestly, we never left. For 20 years, the Steelers were our valued partner, and we would do additions and renovations throughout that 20 years. So you fast forward, and a couple years ago, Mark Hart, who was one of our primary contacts at the Steelers for the 20 years, joined up with David Tepper and became the COO of the Carolina Panthers. And Jack Mascaro, who was the founder of Mascaro Construction, sent an email to Mark Hart and said, hey, congratulations on your new job. Thanks for the relationship over the 20 years. And if you ever need any help, give us a call. So on December 23rd, I received a phone call from Mark Hart. He said, you want to build a new training facility? I talked to the Mascaro family. They said, absolutely. We flew down and met with Mark Hart and Tom Glick. And then Mark said, well, who's your partner? And we had a long-standing relationship with Barton Mallow, and it was a no-brainer. They had a Charlotte presence, so we joined up with Barton Mallow, and the rest is history.
All right, so somebody needs to explain to me the difference between the two companies and what they bring to the table. We'll start over with you, Blake. The Barton Mallow does what?
Barton Mallow and Mascaro are very much the same. We've got a long history, like John said. We've done multiple joint venture projects together over the last 20 or 25 years. We're both construction managers, managing construction, and a job this size, you know, and it needed two great companies. We've come together to build this facility here for the Panthers.
So the bottom line is the scale of this project requires more than just one horse. You need a couple of horses to do this.
That's correct. We have a staff here of over 50 personnel, roughly, managing somewhere we'll have between 800 and maybe 1,000 workers on a daily basis here at our peak.
Oh, my God. All right. So a few months ago, this 200-plus acres was nothing but beautiful trees owned by the Hutchison family. They sold the land to Mr. Tepper. And I don't know, how do you begin something like this? I mean, somebody drew this out on a piece of paper and said, okay, here it is. Now it's your opportunity to build it.
Yeah, so we mobilized on January 20, 2020. And as you said, when you see the treed areas, that's what this whole site looked like. The site that we are working with is about 234 acres. So the first week that we started, a local contractor, Blythe Development, came out and they started the process called clearing and grubbing, which is cutting down the trees, putting in temporary roads, doing erosion sedimentation control, and then just getting it to the point that you see right now. And then from there, it's just a natural progression of we do site utilities, underground foundations, structural steel, then we'll go up to the exterior envelope and the finishes. The whole concept comes from, obviously, the leadership at the Carolina Panthers and then with the leadership and designers from Populous, the architects. And I've been involved with this job for about 2.5 years now, and it's gone through many iterations and design, I'd say, evolutions, and that's what brought us to this point today. Said 234 acres, the building's about 700,000 square feet, a lot of site work, a lot of roads, three outdoor football fields that will be natural grass, one outdoor football field that will be artificial turf, and then one full-size indoor football field.
So how many acres have we cleared out here for, I guess, this initial phase of the project? John, you're smiling. Who do we, they're looking at each other. Who's going to take that? Joey? Blake? John saying, I don't know. All right, go ahead, John.
If I had to guess, I don't know if we've come up with an exact number, but I would say that we've impacted somewhere in the area of like 120 to 140 acres. But ultimately, that, you know, we're doing phase one of this project. There is plans for future development around this site, all the way around the perimeter of this site. So I would say 120 to 140 acres right now.
Whew. And I can tell you, we're standing right in the middle of it. Now, you can't help but hear all that noise in the background. Well, that's, I forgot what you call that piece of equipment, Blake.
That's an excavator loading our numerous amount of rocks we have in Rock Hill that we've found during our excavation effort here.
So I want you to explain in a little bit more detail. When they said the city was named Rock Hill, you really found out where that name came from?
We did. We started excavating early September 2020. Quickly realized that underneath the subsurface, we had lots of boulders. This site has been what the geotechnical engineers have referred to as an anomaly. There's no real rhyme or reason of where we found rock. It was just all over, and so we then had to shift our efforts, and we've redesigned the foundation system to get to where we are today. And we ended up having to probe, actually, every single hole to know exactly what we would find.
All right, so how many holes or footers, I guess, as you call them, are you going to have on this project?
It's roughly about 420 between the headquarters pavilion and the park.
420?
420.
And how many of those have you dug so far?
We're about 320 in. I think the latest this morning I heard we've got 80 more caissons to go. We do have some more smaller foundation micropiles, but we're well on our way now.
And how deep are these footers?
They range anywhere from 60 feet down to, we've had to go down to as far as 80 to 100 feet to get the high quality rock.
high-quality rock that'll hold up what's going to be built on top of it.
That's correct.
Good Lord. That's amazing. So when you built Heinz Field, did you have this problem?
I think Johnny would be better off answering that.
John?
No, we were good. There was we went with auger cast piles on that job, and that works well on the river banks of the city of Pittsburgh. So that worked out well for us there. It's just a different methodology to a deep foundation, and you add some skin friction, not just an end bearing type deep foundation.
Which means absolutely nothing to me, but the bottom line is that's what you have to do to hold this thing up.
That's correct. Yeah, man, I got you.
All right. Now, this building, as I understand it, they want to make sure, the Panthers and Mr. Tepper want to make sure this thing is like nothing else that the NFL has out there today. Is that about accurate?
That is very accurate. And, in fact, in, say, hundreds of meetings we've all participated in, we've heard terms of world-class facility, best-of-class sports performance center, destination point. So without a doubt, I think this entire team feels that 2 years from today, there will be nothing that rivals this sports facility, not only in the NFL, but I think in all sports teams in general.
It's amazing. So we are now into the, well, I thought as of yesterday, we were into the post COVID life world, pandemic world, and now it seems to be kicking up again. But you started this project, and then lo and behold, what do you hit? The pandemic. So how did the pandemic affect what you're doing out here?
Well, it certainly impacted us. Initially, we were to mobilize in March of 2020, and not directly related to COVID, but indirectly related to COVID, that start date got pushed to July. So that was the first obstacle. But then what we had to do is we had to set in processes and programs that we wanted to make sure that every one of us, every worker on site was coming to work safely, healthy, and everybody was leaving healthy. So we had a mask mandate. So anybody that would be in any meeting would have to wear a mask. We had to get our temperature checked every morning before you came onto the site. We had a QR scan where you had to scan in and answer questions like, are you feeling good? Do you have any symptoms? That type of thing. And then we just, in addition to that, like I think most other businesses and industries, we had to just practice social distancing. And so we were impacted in a very similar way to most other businesses. I think one advantage we had here is obviously when you're outside, I think it's a lot easier to adhere to all of those requirements. I will say this, we were all glad when, you're correct, it isn't over totally, but when the requirements relaxed a little bit, it was a big lift to the entire team.
And I'm sure you encourage everybody that works out on this site to go get their shots?
Yes. Yes.
Courage is the word.
Courage, yes.
All right, I got
sure.
you. All right. So, part of this also, this world that we live in called the pandemic, is supply chain and getting stuff, you know, that was supposed to be here on a certain day. It doesn't show because they haven't made it, because they don't have workers at the other end to do this stuff. Who's the supply chain expert here on this project? Are we looking at Joey? No, we're not looking at Joey. Are we looking at John? Blake?
I'm far from an expert in anything, but I'll give you my thoughts on this. There's definitely supply chain issues, you know, for multiple reasons, for lack of workers, for lack of truck drivers, for just the scale of the cost increases and the escalation. There's issues that we have to deal with right now, and that's a big risk we take as a contractor on how to manage those risks. And yeah, definitely issues right now for multiple reasons.
And that becomes your responsibility as a contractor, right?
It does, and we work with our owners on it. You know, there's contingency items we could possibly use to cover some of the stuff that's inordinate. Like we have a steel fabricator on another one of our projects said in his 41 years there's never been an escalation jump as such that just happened right now. And we're having issues with roof insulation, and we're having issues with almost everything on supply availability, plus just the escalation on metals, cold form framing, so forth, so on. It's a big deal.
You know, Blake, I had another contractor friend of mine telling me that does smaller work than this, obviously, that for him to get steel, he has to put his order in like 6 or 7 months in advance. Does that sound about right to you?
That would be 100% accurate, Manny. And thankfully on this job, we did see the early COVID and what that would potentially do. And, you know, the Panthers, as a great owner, we released all of our mill order, that's basically the raw order, to the steel back in August, September of 2020, which allowed us to get through that big hurdle. And we haven't seen as much escalation on the steel as some of the other products, but it is a challenge. And I think one of the things that has differed this time around than what we've previously seen is just the numerous amounts of raw materials that we don't particularly see, from cementitious products to the polypropylenes. A lot of the things, you know, we are able to deal with, some of these time we've just never seen before. So we are having to work and come up with ways. The owner looks at us to solve the problems. We looked at, for instance, the skin on this building. We looked at ways to come up with alternatives that were in, we could better handle the supply chain and manage that.
You know, one of the things that I remember about the renderings on this building, and I don't know whether this is part of it, but there's supposed to be some huge glass walls in this thing that kind of open up to allow people to go from the inside field to the outside field. You're nodding your head yes, John.
Yeah, glass is a big part of the architectural design, not only on the headquarters, but I think the most prominent feature is going to be on the pavilion, which is the indoor football field. And the whole north face of that pavilion is a glass wall with a very large operable glass door in the center of that. So what the Panthers and Mark Hart and David Tepper and Populous have envisioned is the Panthers will use that indoor football field for practice, but then for other events outside of football, they will open up those doors and then join the indoor field, the pavilion, with the outdoor field, which is a park. But there, those glass walls, I believe, on the north side of the facility are somewhere in the area of 170 feet from grade up. So there is a lot of glass on this building for sure.
Well, and those doors, 80 feet or 90 feet?
That is correct, 80 feet.
So when you get something wild like that, where do you go to get somebody to solve just the structural issue of that? And the size panes that you need for something like that?
Well, there's obviously a lot of players involved with it. First, the concept has to come from the architect Populous. Then there's a structural engineer, which is Thornton Tomasetti out of New York City. And then we found a contractor who is actually doing the work, the large glass contractor. That's their specialty. That's what they do. They're the experts in that field. So you bring a lot of parties together to try to come up with all of the solutions for that. It's a very, very complicated system.
I can imagine. One more thing, Blake, when we talked about the supply chain, just the human capital you need out here. Are you having trouble getting workers, or are you in pretty good shape?
Workers and craft workers are hard to come by these days. We haven't had too many issues at the moment. But it is something that we are tracking. We're also being very diligent about working with our subcontractors prior to them mobilizing to understand how many they need. Obviously, reaching out to the local workforce and trying to get as many Rock Hill, subcontractors and just, you know, local residents and then also in the Charlotte area. But it's staying ahead, knowing what we need so that, you know, we're being able to forecast and get ahead of it.
I remember a while back you all had a large meeting with local vendors to explain to them how this project's going to work. And you were very upfront saying you wanted to get local workers in here. You wanted to get minority workers in here. You understood what their cash flow issues were and how you could work with them on that. Has that turned out okay, John?
It has, and I think you're referring to the town hall meeting we had about a year ago, and that really came down from the top. I mean, Mark Hart and David Tepper and the rest of the Panthers really challenged the Mascaro Barton Mallow team and emphasized we want local boots on the ground, local workers, and local companies and suppliers. And it really went in the priority list of Rock Hill, York County, South Carolina, North Carolina. And it has been very, very successful up to this point. both with the workers and also the companies that we've issued contracts and purchase orders to on this job.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break, reminding you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from the site of the Carolina Panthers team headquarters and practice facilities, which is well underway, be operational here in a couple years. Our broadcast presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, I did not tell these guys this, but they're going to listen closely because they're going to do it with me at the end of the show. We prepare fresh subs and salads at Substation 2, and the way we do it is pretty simple. Slice, 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 garden, garden, garden. So at the end of the show, we're all going to say that together. Slice, 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 garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 41066.
We're glad to see things are getting back to normal, and it's great to see everyone eating in and us getting a chance to catch up with y'all. This is Charlie Ruffalo. If you don't have time to sit and enjoy your lunch with us, I would suggest you order online at mysubstationii.com, and you can be in and out of the store in under 5 seconds. Just give us enough time to make your order before you arrive. We're open Monday to Saturday, 10 to 10, and we're still able to do catering 7 days a week. Once again, I want to thank you for your support through this pandemic. It means a great deal. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
All right, back we are here at the Carolina Panthers, and that noise that you hear down there at the construction site, Sean Mascara, what is that machine and what the heck is it doing?
They're drilling tiebacks, sir. They're drilling hold-down anchors in rock. Yeah, that's a highly sophisticated operation.
So they're drilling into rock to put something into that rock. Is that what you're trying to tell me? He's leaning over there. Don't fall over.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. All right. John, get back over here. Let's go left to right from where we are here and tell me exactly what I'm seeing. What, right here to my left.
Okay, so we are standing on the east side of the site. We are just outside of what we call the east retaining wall, which is the retaining wall for the HQ and pavilion. What you're looking at directly to our south is the initial structural steel that is being erected. And then if you look to the west, you will see the structural steel that's also being erected on the west. Generally speaking, from the end of that structural steel all the way over to this retaining wall, all the way up to where that drill rig is the footprint of the headquarters and the pavilion.
Oh my God, are you kidding me?
So it's a huge footprint, and then the four stories on top of that. Then if you come out of the pavilion, as we talked about earlier, then you walk into what will be the park, and that is a multi-purpose stadium. This gives you an idea of the scale of this facility.
How do you quantify the amount of steel that is in this project? Do you do it by tons? Do you do it by dollars? I mean, how do I tell people how much steel is out here?
All of the above. I mean, we track pieces with the fabricator and erector. We track tons. Roughly, this is about a 9,000-ton structural steel job, which is a very significant job. But then also the fabricator has to know the exact number of pieces. I believe the total fabricated pieces on this job is over 12,000. And the total erected pieces that you see on site is somewhere 7,800 pieces. And then obviously we track dollars, we track production. So we have a lot of different metrics that we're checking with the structural steel and all of the other components on the job.
So I guess it gets back to the architect and the people who did the plans for this. They, it's one thing to have it on paper. It's another thing to take that paper and create reality out here. And you just hope the two are the same.
It is, and it's very difficult, and it's a very complicated design. And it is somewhat amazing when you see the original renderings, and then it goes to actual detailed drawings, and then the whole team has to take those detailed drawings and then develop what you're looking at right now. So, but the process never stops with the designers and the architects. Our team is in communication with them multiple times every day, just answering questions and addressing issues that come up every day on a construction site. So,
now, as I sit here and look at these large pieces of equipment, I'm not sure I've seen these large pieces of equipment anywhere here in Rock Hill. Are these brought in from other parts of the country?
They are. And some of them may be company-owned by, like, the steel erector or by the caisson contractor. Some of them may be rented. That piece of equipment you see there is rented from a local vendor. So it's a combination, and they could bring them in from Florida, Georgia, Alabama, wherever they have that equipment available.
All right, every job has its challenges, otherwise you wouldn't be here. We know about the rock. You got plenty of rock over here. I think you might have an auction someday and tell people to come out and bid on a rock and take it home with them. But what realistic challenges do you have here that you might not find at a normal site?
Well, the rocks are definitely a part of it. I will say, other than a worldwide pandemic, 15,000 cubic yards of the hardest rock any of us have ever seen. Rain has been a significant issue on this site. I think on Monday night we got somewhere in the area of 2.5 inches of rain. And that in and of itself is a problem, but how that impacts us here, because we're still so heavily involved in the site work, is rain on a Monday night could impact our production and our operations for another 2 or 3 days. So I would say they are probably the most significant impacts that we've had here.
Now, you build all that into your construction schedule. I mean, I know you've got rainy days building there. So overall, are you pretty much on schedule?
We are, we got to a point where we were behind schedule. We worked with the Panthers and we came up with a plan to recover that schedule, required some acceleration. And right now we track it daily, pretty much, certainly weekly. And right now we are tracking to get football operations into the building so the Panthers in the summer of 23 are in this building. So
that's where they want to have training camp here, the summer of 2023. And oddly enough, we're doing this show today, which is opening day of summer training camp at Wofford College. And 2 years from now, they expect it here. No pressure, right?
Yeah, no pressure at all. A lot of sleepless nights, but we're going to get it done. This is the best team I've ever been involved with, the best owner I've ever been involved with, and the team is hitting it on all cylinders, and we're going to get it done.
Well, for a project this size, you got to have an attitude like that, John, don't you? Because it'd be very easy to just, fold up and say, I just can't get this done because of all these problems.
No, that's why you got to work together as a team. Similar to football, the best construction projects consist of the best construction teams, and when you have an owner like Mark and David Tepper and our design firms, our owner reps, and our CMJV management team, plus all the subcontractors out here, it's just we're all aligned towards a common goal and getting football operations in here for a summer 2 years from now.
And I tell you what, I don't want to let this show get off by not getting a moment. Come over here, Joey. Because one of the things that Mascaro Construction, I guess, and Barton Malcolm have done is to give back already. You've been very involved with Miracle Park.
Yes, sir. The CMJV, Mascaro Barton Mallow, was more than excited to help out with Miracle Park. Up in Pittsburgh, we helped out with something similar called Miracle Field, which was strictly baseball. So Miracle Park takes it to another level. But, yeah, helped out with Miracle Field up in Pittsburgh. Happy to help out with Miracle Park down here. Excited for it to get going. The construction over there looks awesome.
We're ready to go.
Soon? We're ready.
Yeah, they're soon. I mean, they moved back the opening, the grand opening date until September, I think, because of the same issues everybody else has had, supply chain and getting enough labor out there to do the work. Well, guys, you've done a great job on the program. Congratulations, John. And I hope we can come out here again maybe 6 months from now and take another look.
Absolutely. Come on out. We'll be glad to have you.
All right, then, big guy, you've done a good job.
No, thank you, Manny. We appreciate it. You know, we love working here down here in Rock Hill. This is a new territory for us, but, you know, part of our purpose is to deliver great experiences, and that includes back to the community. So we're down here, we're here, we're loving it here, and thank you so much.
So what's it going to take to get you to move down here full time? Your son's already told me he's coming down here.
I don't know. Someday.
Someday. Well, this is going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. And, of course, we want to thank Charlie Ruffel for allowing us to go on live on the road out here to the site of the Carolina Panthers team headquarters and practice facilities. Our program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Now, you guys remember what we did? Slice, 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 garden, garden, garden. All right. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week at Substation 2. As loud as you can at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Oh, come on, John. You could have done better than that. All right. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.